Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing with your friends and family. And I'm going to have a brief little segment. I'm going to talk about the impact of inflation, but we really have a wonderful topic today. And here's the question. What should all younger people understand about finances? And for this segment, we have Steve Davies. He's a CEO of Total Wealth Academy. He's a radio host. After 30 years of coaching and studying successful people, Steve has figured out a formula that works. The key is a second stream of income above and beyond your job. Steve has touched on everything from finances to romance, from cash to wealth. Steve has been featured in Good Day Houston, Forbes, Cancel, NTD News, and more. Steve has trained hundreds of thousands of people seeking a practical path to financial empowerment. So, Steve, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Actually, the honor is mine because this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I think it's very, very important for people who are younger to start understanding what's going on in the financial world. I just got to say that there's too many people that don't understand stuff. And I know they're not teaching it in school. And most people don't even learn it when they're in college. And they typically have to learn it on the seat of their pants, or they have somebody like you where they go and listen to radio shows. I think it's very, very, very important. Now, one of the questions I love to ask people is this. What got you into the business?
Well, what happened for me is I was on the corporate path. I had been given a map to success, the same one everybody's given, you know, go to college, get out, get a job with a major corporation with high pay and good benefits, then scrimp and save, work for 45 years, retire and live off your savings. And that was the model I was using. Well, the fifth year in, I was working 60, 70 hours a week, won a national sales contest, won a trip to Hawaii. And when I got back from Hawaii, they cut my pay by 20 grand a year. And what that did was it woke me up to the dangers of depending on a job for your income. It's a high risk position. And I started, this was in the 80s. This was 89. I couldn't sleep. I was losing my wife because I was working 70 hours a week. Nobody likes this joke, but if you're working 70 hours a week, who's romancing your wife? It ain't you. And I was like, man, I'm losing my wife. I'm broke. I'm now negative cash flow because they cut my pay. There was this thing on late night TV called an infomercial. Mm-hmm. Those infomercials were Carlton Sheets, Dave Del Dotto, Tommy Vu, all these guys talking about investing in real estate. And so I took my last credit cards and bought about $30,000 worth of books and boot camps and things like that, and started investing in real estate. Initially, I really wasn't an investor. I was a wholesaler and flipper. That's not true investing, but I was at least in real estate. 3 months later, I was able to quit my job because I was making more money with that than I was at my job. That allowed me to rescue my marriage because I no longer had to waste those 60, 70 hours a week. I was only working maybe 10 or 12 hours a week. I just started studying and reading everything I could get on finance, money, wealth, balanced living. And I loved to teach it. I would share it with my friends. And for some reason, I had, I don't know what it is, fun. It was just fun to share the ideas with my friends. And none of them did anything with it. but it was fun to share the ideas and show them what I was doing. Eventually, I realized that's what I love to do was teach. I keep my money in real estate, but I'm all passive in real estate. I don't do any active investing. I spend all my time teaching. So that's a short version of how I got into it.
Well, hey, that's wonderful. And actually, there's probably almost everybody on this list listening to us today has experienced that. And what I mean by that is I went from developing businesses overseas and not wanting to travel to working for a major corporation here in the United States. I purposely took a lower position and I was dropped into the worst location and it became the best in 3 months. I'm sitting at this executive meeting where they're all talking about, you know, where we give our plans and how we're doing and why we're doing it and all that stuff. 3 months later, I was moved into another office. It was the worst one of the bunch and did it again. And the next thing I know, I'm getting moved from office to office, building it, and somebody else is taking it over and they're making the money while I'm staying down here. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do this too long. So I actually got out for the same reason because I saw that. And my daughter, she just graduated, got her master's, which is really great, but she's got a friend who has been working and just got married and her husband's in a great job and all that stuff. And he just got laid off because they're doing a downsizing.
Yeah.
So the reality of a layoff is pretty prevalent. And the reason why is because back in the 70s, people, they worked for 30, 40 years and they were able to stay there. But now you might have 4 or 5 jobs throughout your lifetime.
That is so true. And people don't realize that. I heard one time, Steve, that the average person only stays on a job for 7 years. Well, you divide that by 45 years. What is that? That's 6 or 7 jobs, something like that.
6.5 jobs. Yeah. When you said risk, I go, yeah, that's the risk. You know, and the reality, if you work for yourself, it's entirely different. You can make your own way. I really think that's important, but I also think it's important for younger people to understand that so they can look at taking a different path or a path that better suits them. Let's start with the very first question. Why should younger people be learning? I'd love your take on that.
The reason is, and you mentioned it, which excited me, we understand it the same way. They don't teach it in high school. And if you want to get it in college, you got to seek it out. It's not in the standard or required program. They just don't teach people about money. And this goes to the point that the rich are teaching their kids differently than the poor and the middle class. When my son was 8, I gave him a copy of The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen. And I told him, I said, son, you need a second stream of income. Now let's go do some Legos. And when he turned 9, 10, 11, I kept reminding him, remember to build a second stream of income. When he turned 18, I said, okay, remember, build a second stream of income. And by the time he graduated college, he had 11 rent houses and $4,000 a month in second stream of income. And people will say, well, your son must be brilliant. He must be a hard worker. I'm telling you, he is, but so are you. So is every listener. They're brilliant. They're hard workers. But how many of them were told to build a second stream of income when they were 8? None of them. So they went out with a different map. And it's sad to say, but that map doesn't work very well anymore. If you look at the statistics and you really analyze them, 95% of Americans really are failing to retire by age 65, 95%. And they're becoming burdens on the government, burdens on their kids. And that's not their goal. Those people are good people. They worked hard for 45 years, but they had the wrong map.
I definitely don't disagree with that. And I think that's really important. One of the things that you said, see, many people take on the same financial habits of their parents because they're doing what they see, not doing what they're told. So you showed your son, hey, this is how I go about do this. And he probably went along with you a couple of times, but you kept reiterating it. And I think that's really important for people to understand. Kids are going to do what they see, not what they've been told.
Yeah. And Steve, the other thing is there's a, you know, that map that I gave, it's actually a lie to say, you know, you're going to work for 45 years for the same company. You're going to be able to save up $2 or $3 million. It's a lie. But the people who are telling it don't know it's a lie. In other words, the parents are telling them that map. Then they go to high school. The high school teachers tell them that map. When they go to college, the college professors teach them that map. Here's the problem. Were your parents high school teachers or college professors multimillionaire entrepreneurs? No, they don't know how to be successful. They're giving the wrong map over and over again. And here's the catch. They don't realize it's the wrong map till they're 65, 70 or dead. So it's not getting passed on. My dad, when he was 65, put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, Steve, I'm glad you're investing in real estate because what I did didn't work. I don't believe there's many men or women that have the fortitude or the courage to say that to their kids. But I'm so glad he said it to me.
Everybody, we're going to stop right there. You want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve and Steve Davis.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You probably don't want to miss some of our affiliates here at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. We have an insiders club. You can see the behind the scenes stuff. You can see today we have a transformer pole go down, so we had to stop and start again. So that might be interesting to you all as well. So with that, we have Steve Davis. He's the CEO of Total Wealth Academy. We've been talking about what should younger people understand about finances. So Steve, welcome back to the second part of the show.
Good to be here.
Here's one of the big things that we want to go through. How should younger people be taught?
I think that my opinion is that people should go back in time to the early 19th century. If, you know, there was Andrew Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, George Klassen, and that was when they really began to study human success, self-development, at least. I know there was self-development forever, probably 3,000 years, but those books are the starting point. The problem is that it's hard for a parent to teach a child about finance if they don't understand it.
Don't understand it.
So they've got to read the books as well. The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen is a masterpiece and probably the most important financial book I ever read that explains starting with nothing and ending up the richest man in Babylon every step of the way. So I think reading is the number one thing, but I would say it's a tie with it's our responsibility as parents to do well financially, because you brought it up earlier. If you tell your kid to do something different than you're doing, they don't hear you. They see what you're doing. If you go through life living paycheck to paycheck, working jobs you don't like, and you're unhappy, you're teaching your kids to do that too. It is our responsibility to do well financially. So you've got to read, you've got to excel. And leadership, because leadership is by example, that's how you teach your kids, by showing them.
So I think that's wonderful. And, you know, it brings me back. We had this day when my kids were young in school, and they brought me in there because, like you, I've seen you in the local news shows, and I've done a number of those things for more than 15 years now. Because I had, for some reason, been on a whole bunch of them in a short period of time, they had me come in and talk to the kids. They asked me to do a little class on budgeting or finance for little kids. And I asked them, I said, hey, what's the thing you want to buy? What do you want your parents to buy? And some were saying Legos, some girls were saying dolls and stuff like that. And I said, so how much money does that cost? They're like, well, I don't know. I just want it. Okay. You know, kids, it's just the way it is.
Sure.
But then when I said, okay, so let's take a look. And they had a little white screen there, and I pulled up the Lego set, and it was $12. I said, do you have $12? He says, no. I said, how are you going to get $12? And I said, well, do you get an allowance? He goes, yeah, I get $1 a week for allowance. So how many weeks is it going to take you to save up for that Lego set? And he says, well, at least 12 weeks. I go, so, well, you're not going to spend anything for 12 weeks. And he says, well, yeah, I want to get some lunch and stuff like that. I said, well, okay, so how long are you going to have to save? Then he realized that he was going to have to save for almost 30 weeks to get the Lego set because of his spending. And I said, so what are you going to stop spending on in order to get there? They started getting it that, hey, I'm going to have to save for this. I'm going to have to do stuff to get this. My parents aren't the bank here if I'm going to want to get these things. And I think one of the things that you're saying is people need to realize early that mom and dad aren't the bank, and they've got to do things on their own, just like you taught your son.
Yes. And I also think, Steve, we've got to get away from telling people to save what they don't have. I've never saved $1 million, but I've made $1 million. In other words, to save $1 million, you got to make it. And we're telling American citizens, you know, you need $1 million or more to retire. But I was doing the math. After 45 years with an average income around 50 grand a year, which is what it is in the U.S., that's $2.2 million at the end of 45 years, or $2.5 million. And we're supposed to save $1 million of that? What about garbage, gas, electric, water, mortgage, insurance, cars, transportation, fun? What about enjoying your life a little bit during those 45 years? I think that we need to spend about 5% of our time on budgeting and saving, and 95% of our time on making more money, building a second stream of income. When you look at the 5% of Americans who do retire successfully, almost all of them had multiple streams of income, second and third and fourth. And I think, you know, I always say 70% used real estate. Well, a guy corrected me the other day and said it was 90% used real estate to do it. That you got to work on making more money. This concept of save, 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 budget, budget, budget. If you don't make it, you can't budget it or save it. You've got to figure out a way to make more money.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's interesting. You see people complaining about the minimum wage. It doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
And it goes back to your point about, I mean, if you live in California, $50,000 puts you in poverty. Okay. Yep. It's just the way it is because the cost of living is so darn high. In fact, you can't even afford a home if you've got $100,000 in California. Okay. You're going to have two incomes and you're going to have to be working all the time because they're so expensive. The reality is, if you're not making more money or finding ways to make more money, you're never going to be there. So I totally get that. Now, I have a question for you, Steve. You have your radio show. How does it work with your organization?
Yeah, Total Wealth Academy. What we do is we teach people how to use real estate to build a second stream of income, both actively and passively. Active would be single family. Passive would be commercial. Big apartment complexes, self-storage complexes. And what people do is they're taking their 401ks and IRAs, moving it out of the stock market and investing passively in these syndications that are buying apartment complexes. And our internal rate of return has been over 20% on every deal we've done over the last 5 years. It's starting to get a little higher because prices are dropping, but we're making three times what the stock market does, and it's cash flow. It's not just equity. It's cash flow. Bills come in every month. You need money every month. Cash flow comes in every month. So that's what's changing people's lives.
That is, I like the way you say cash flow, because the reality is retirement's really about the income you have to create the lifestyle you want. And if you're never, if you don't have the income, it isn't going to go anywhere. $1 million, you just don't, you know, that's great. It's $1 million. But if you're not able to create an income, and what we've seen in the last year, we've seen a 20% decline in market prices. So if you see a 20% decline in market prices from the stock market, hey, I only have 800,000 now when I used to have $1 million, and I still got to take that income. And I could capitalize that principal all the way down if it's not structured right. And what you're talking about is, hey, we see the fluctuations within real estate, but it never completely goes away. And the rents are always still there. So you always have that cash flow, which makes it a more stable income. And that's a wonderful way to look at things.
Yeah. What people don't think about, and I know what I'm about to say is brutal, but if you save your way to retirement and you even walk away with $1 million at 65, you know what you're praying? You're picking a God and going, God, please kill me before I run out of money. That's not a good way to live. If you build a second stream of income, it comes in whether you live 10 years or 50 years in retirement. Doesn't matter. So your point about cash flow, yeah, I like the way you said that. And I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use that.
Anytime.
Cash flow is king, because the bills keep coming in. And then the other misconception is that your bills get lower as you get older because your kids have graduated college and all that, but they forget about medical expenses. A CPA friend of mine goes, yeah, it's $700,000 to live to 84. The average couple will spend $700,000 in medical costs if they live to 84. Crazy.
That's nuts. So it's even hard to insure. Hey, Steve, we're coming to the end of our segment here. How can people get a hold of you? How can people get connected with you so they can look at building a second stream of income and maybe create a stable income, almost like a pension for their lifestyle and retirement?
That's what it is. It's like you own your own pension. We have members across the United States, some in Canada, and everybody does their classes online. It's go to totalwealthacademy.com. And the first step would be to take the free sample class. There's a big yellow button at totalwealthacademy.com that says free sample class.
That's great. So, hey, go to that website, select that yellow button, folks. And hey, nice thing about it, it's free, so you can figure out if it's for you or not. But Steve, I want to thank you for joining us today. I think
thank
it's
you.
Important, especially during all these economic storms that we're seeing right now, that there's one place that can create some stability and stability of income, which makes a big difference in everyone's lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve. We're going to talk about the impact of inflation.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you and your friends and family associates know about the show. If you're interested in Steve Davies Total Wealth Academy, you can always go to that website. They have a free class that you can check out to see if it's a fit for you. With that, I want to go ahead and start talking about the impact of inflation. Okay, so inflation in 2021 was 7%. In 2022 was 6.5%. Currently, in 2023, we're halfway through the year, it's 5%. Regardless of whether or not inflation starts coming down, it doesn't mean prices are going to come down. When inflation finally comes down, a new price point will have already been established. Prices will continue to rise from that price point, just at a slower rate. What that means is the cost of living has gone up almost 20% in the last 2.5 years. This is why preservation of capital is so important to keep in mind. Every 12 years or so, you're going to need 50% more income just to stay the same. That means maintain your current purchasing power. So when you're experiencing this rapid increase in cost of living along with these economic storms resulting in market losses, which makes sense to look at ways to reduce risk with your investments that have downside protection, reasonable rates of return, enough liquidity so you can pivot when the market starts moving back forward, and so you can weather these storms and keep up with inflation. The last thing you want to do is be totally focused on growth in your portfolio and cannibalize your principal when you're looking at inflation going up 20%, market rates going down, and you still have to take out that withdrawal to sustain your lifestyle. Okay? So the big question here is this. Is your complete return comprised of the growth stocks that you're liquidating? Or is it comprised of interest and dividends as well as those growth-oriented pieces? You know what? Just want to leave that for you to ponder with. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. And we're going to look forward to seeing you next week. You have a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing it with your friends and family. We have over our 600,000 listeners here in the States and over another 100 and some odd thousand and overseas. So we're really grateful for that. Today, we have one heck of a show. For some reason, our viewers' lines, everybody's getting concerned about the SECURE Act number 2, even though it went into effect at the beginning of this year. So I'll be going over those changes. But today, we've got a wonderful topic. It's an important topic, and we're going to call it the silver tsunami. Currently, 45 million people are over the age of 65. And they're supported by many programs like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and so on. In the next 7 years, that number will double to 90 million people. It creates the need for a new way of thinking, new technology, innovation, ways for families to provide for and support their aging loved ones going through downsize, diagnosis, debt, death. Now, we have a specialist here, Tony Sieber. He's here to help us understand the financial impact of all this, importance of being well prepared, how to walk through these inevitable life stages and do it well. Now, this is a big topic for me, and I'm glad to have Tony here because most of my parents are 87. My wife's parents are 80. And as somebody who provides financial support and help for people, I deal with this all the time. And I think it's wonderful that we have an expert like Tony here to walk us through it. Just to give me a little background on Tony, he's currently the CEO of Family Media Technology Group, as well as the founder of and president of Parent Projects. In fact, you probably want to go check out that podcast. Tony is a contributing member of Forbes Nonprofit Advisory Council. He's a nationally accredited senior move manager and senior real estate specialist. He also has a license for real estate in Arizona. Tony's also a former law enforcement. And when I was checking you out, I was like, oh, wow. He's been awarded a number of awards or medals in the military. So thank you for your service, Tony. But the big thing is he's got decades experience with crisis management, as well as team building experience. But when you're dealing with this transition of people who are getting older, the ones especially you love, you're really walking into crisis management. I won't go into it because I get really excited about this topic. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
I know you were working as a move manager early on and you didn't think you were doing enough. And then you started Parent Project. So walk me through what you're seeing, what was going on, and what brought you to where you are today.
About 2015 or so, I had a Parent Project. I had a grandparent who was holed up in Sedona. When I got up there, I just saw the impact. It wasn't the first time, but one of the first times I really felt compelled to kind of lean in, and the family needed the time that I had available to be able to help out. And I saw there was a lot of confusion. A lot of decisions were made in guilt and in fear. A lot of conversations that needed to be held that hadn't been held. And now we were probably a little too late to have them be held. Being a guy that after the military, I went into corporate restructuring and corporate strategy to help with emergencies or a product that's coming out and didn't go well, or where they're a turnaround on a particular brand. And I just recognized that this was an industry that was ripe for some level of clarification and clarity, because I knew I wasn't alone. I knew my parents dealt with it. I knew my grandparents dealt with it. I knew my kids are going to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so that was really how I started looking at, that's how I'd left corporate, literally just decided, okay, this is it. This is my calling. I'm going to understand how these transitions are done and how we can better do it as families. And that was before even learning about the silver tsunami. I just felt compelled.
Wow. You know, and I can see that, because when you talk about the fear, I think one of the big problems is, and my folks are the same way, they're 87. My dad had a hip replacement, but we didn't really find out until like 2 weeks before. And that's because somebody let it slip. And they're in a position where they don't want to bother their kids And here we are, you know what, we're dealing with it. And my dad's got to have a knee surgery or knee replacement now. We're lucky he's in great shape and all that, but it's now figuring out, okay, who's going to help him? Because my mom's 87, she can't lift him out of bed.
I was going to say the statistics too of the family caregiver dying before the person they're taking care of is astounding. I've heard statistics as high as 40%. Particularly when they're older, when both are over the age of 75. If you've been a family caretaker or stepped into that role and started through it, you really feel that. And it doesn't end, there isn't a break. It is just, it's the next day and the next day and the next day. And so having some solutions to that, it's very isolating feeling. They don't want to interrupt on you. You want to respect their autonomy. That really probably becomes one of the top pieces of it. Hopefully we're trying to protect their autonomy. We want them to make as many decisions as long as possible in a good mindset, in a healthy mindset. But I think there's some reality. There's a couple of really big realities. So just, we have to emotionally process on the way.
I've seen many times where that autonomy that people want to have and they feel that they're losing because they start forgetting things, start forgetting where it is, all that kind of stuff is scary to people. I see my parents are, they're not on the bridge of that, but I've seen a lot of people where they're starting to lose some of that memory, that short-term memory, but they really want to stay driving. And sometimes it's scary to see them driving. So you have to make changes. So, and then I also see kids that don't want to see their parents like that. So they kind of avoid it. It's almost like sticking their head in the sand. Right. They get involved or they're forced to be involved and too late. And some kids don't want to be involved. Some of it scares the heck out of them. So it's a really interesting dynamic. What I'd like you to do is just let's start talking about understanding the financial impact of all this.
Yeah. Okay. So you set the tone of the silver tsunami, by the way, just in the United States with what you were talking about. So the majority of the world looks at, they utilize entitlement programs to protect the last, lost, and least, right? And as I just left as chairman of the board of Catholic Charities here in our Phoenix area, those are organizations that are very well spread out to see where they can fill in the gaps of government, right? In that nonprofit and that NGO, a lot of public-private partnership work. The reality is in the United States, 90 million people on this, on the entitlement systems like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, they're not all going to be sick, but just that sheer amount of administrative burden, a doubling in 6.5 years from now, near doubling, that's going to leave a lot on the nonprofit world. And the visibility there, I saw the nonprofit world, which can't get organized quite quick enough in where we are and how things are postured. This is going to fall down to families. If you don't understand where you're going to get involved, you're probably not going to like where you get involved. And I, you know, there's the majority of business today, I think that work through this industry and the aging industry, you're dealing with mom and dad as the client. And the reality is because of business processes that make your business use online statements or other things that we're doing in automation are separating us against that. That and leading to the adult children really being a primary driver and influence in their parents and how it's done. Mm-hmm. And that's financially hitting them as a silver tsunami washes ashore, if you will. It's going to impact us. We have an environment in which a single healthcare incident can wipe out a lifetime of retirement savings. You know, I think I recall seeing that you're a cancer survivor and your family is as well. My wife is. And we just, you know, it's $1 million to fight cancer, and 1 in 8 women get breast cancer and other forms of it that sit out there. That's a lot to prep through. And in the back end of life, healthcare gets really, it can get really, really expensive. And there's a whole slew of conversations for another call or another time that we have a conversation about how you, in a healthy way, how you weigh that against that healthy lifestyle retirement that your parents really want or past retirement. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think where it starts to hit you is that budget does play a role. Guilt does play a role when you start in this. There is a way out of that. And as you get yourself out of guilt and fear and start making decisions with love and laughter, we just find that we make better decisions. They're better grounded. They help us from a more healthy aspect, tackle the problems that mom and dad are facing. We understand the reality that even the last decisions for most of us won't be made by us. They'll be carried out by somebody else. They'll be carried out by whomever that we choose, a child or a fiduciary or someone else to do it, whether it be burying you and handling your remains at one level, or it backs itself all the way up to the last 5 or 6 or 10 years of your life, depending on medical conditions. The ability for you to have these conversations early and often as a family, to know how they would want you to carry out. Talking with mom and dad, what's important for them to do? Not that they're belaboring you with the challenge, but understanding. as they work through and they have to make those decisions in their stead, or you have to make decisions in their stead, how would they want you to do that? What would they want you to think about? Then you can start processing the financial impact of, okay, so how do we do that? At least I know what A looks like, so I can start mapping myself there.
So I want to take a quick little break because we got a lot to unpack in the second half. Stick with us, everybody. We're going to be right back with more Tony Siebers. We're going to be talking here about the silver tsunami, and it's just something you really want to be part of and listen to so you can understand how to help the ones you really love. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to us having a healthier, happier relationship with money. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you sharing this with your friends and family. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insights on Saving Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I want to send out some love to our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of personal financial freedom. And again, you can check us out on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. You can get the behind-the-scenes stuff, the guest gifts, the whole shot. I want to bring back Tony Siebers. I'm thankful that you're here, Tony. I really want to ask this question. What are the signs that people should be looking at when it's time to start having these conversations with mom and dad or your loved ones?
Great question. They're going to vary a bit from family to family. Make sure you give yourself a little bit of leeway here if you're not picking this up, right? For some, it's going to be from a financial perspective. Bills aren't getting paid on time, or there's a lot of confusion. Or, you know, as you visit the house, holiday times are great. They're like Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving and Christmas, you just see an influx of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how bad this slide had happened. Piling up of bills, things not happening, or confusion from there. Lots of sticky notes around showing that maybe there's a change in how they're setting up their routine, or crutches of things that are set up, being very particular about that. It's just going to let you know they're starting to know that we're starting to work in that. Or that might be one thing that's showing. You should get yourself affiliated or associated with the professionals that advise your parents, and your parents should want that it really as soon as possible. So whoever works on the taxes, because that's a great opportunity to understand once a year everything that's going on. Like, where's the money coming in from? How's it coming on? Are they doing that? Do they understand where things are at and how to manage that? The medical side, who's the doctors? Who are they treating? Do they have an understanding? Is it a referral base where they're running around town and seeing six or seven different people, and you and one may have one story, but another has another? And you're never quite feeling like you're getting the whole story of what it is. Well, that could be not because of age. It could just be because of the way the system's structured with a PPO or an HMO or Medicare for that instance. So you're going to look to those things probably would be some of the first signs, other than the normal memory things happen. But we try to stick too clear of just pinning it down onto age, because you've got 95-year-olds. I've had 95-year-olds that function, you know, as well as I could function on a stressful mm-hmm. day. And you've got people that are 65 that are really struggling. So you can't quite pin it to age. You just got to be aware of those surroundings. Check in when you are there. I would say listen and do more listening when you get in there than talking. And think about how we say attraction over promotion in almost all things we do at Parent Projects. In order to advise, your parents don't want to be sold anything on the outside. So don't try to sell them something. Find where it is they're trying to go and be an enabler and find some small thing that you can enable for them. Chances are that will help give you exposure to other signs to help you understand the depth of the situation is a great place to start.
I'm just thinking through that checklist with my folks, yeah. And I know most of those. I just don't know the doctors. So
there is a really, and it's a good thing because those are one of those really hard ones at the moment you need to, because you've got documentation, you have HIPAA, you've got maybe power of attorneys. That can be so much more complex down the road than it is in the front end with just simply an introduction. And these days, most doctor's offices can set up a video teleconference and are willing to do that. Now, 5 years ago, it was hard. Today, that's a great thing out of COVID. Post-COVID, everybody's like, oh yeah, we get VTC. We can do that. It's not going to be a HIPAA problem. Like mom says they want their daughter in, I could get their daughter in there. So that other aspect I'd throw in is money matters in a lot of this, and not just for us in our wallets, but knowing the payer model. If it's Medicare, if it's a Medicaid system in your respective state, here in Arizona, it's all tax, it's Oregon Health Plan, it's different things in different states. But know the difference between them. Know if it's long-term care insurance. Well, that's a payer model. Whomever is going to be covering the bill, there's a language to learn. And I think most of us, self-included, thought that one day I would wake up and like the Medicare fairy would sprinkle in my head. Yeah, this is what it is, and this is where it works. And then, all this. Yeah. And because it's confusing. And most of us see it, especially as we approach that 62 in retirement or those benchmarks in ourselves. And we're like, oh my gosh, no wonder my mom and dad are having such a hard time with this. This really stinks. The communication model that's secret to that, I would say, is understanding activities of daily living, ADLs. The ADLs mm-hmm. conversation are the common ways that an outside payer model really is structured to understand what level of assistance a human being is going to need. And they map what they can handle, what can be paid for, what's there. It's that secret language. So great starting point. And we've got tutorials and quick videos in 90 seconds, that'd help out. But there's a lot that's out there. You're looking for that. Once you get an understanding of that, it's a great starting place.
I know we're in the middle and I usually do this then, but I'm going to ask you to do it again. Where can people go to get the videos?
Parentprojects.com is where you can go to start getting aligned. If you're, in real estate, we'd say a looky-loo. If you're just trying to get yourself acclimated and don't know what you don't know, it's a great place to start. We've been collecting these clickbait articles from around the internet now for years, and we turn them into 90 seconds of 3-minute videos. And then give them back to the authors for free and say, hey, this is the way our audience really wants to see this. By the way, that audience typically is, so don't feel weird if or alone. If you are a 50 to 65 year old working mom generally that is balancing taking care of an adult kid or, providing some financial assistance to some maybe still in high school, and you've got mom and dad coming up with work and home, there are millions of you. You're not isolated. It is just simply by starting there. So it works that way. I wanted to move on from helping just the families that could drop, that would go hire someone for $5,000 to $15,000 to kind of handle everything. We wanted a solution, and we're in a drive to a solution to get it down to within $4 a month. We wanted it under $200 so that the average family could have access to that information. We ended up building an AI platform that had the ability to function like a Netflix from that video, bringing that content into uh-huh. play along with maybe the way the knot with a bump or other types of user-friendly systems that help you understand what order to do the tasks and then connects you out with vendors. So that shameless plug over onto the Parent Projects, there's different levels of what you might be ready for. If you're truly ready to engage, the system works great from that. Outside of that, Parent Projects is one place where we go. There's a lot of content that's out there. What we try to do is orient people very quickly, succinctly with that 40 minutes today you have on the project.
I think that's wonderful because I've been looking at those and I go, I wish my clients had these years ago. Here's one of the things that I want to ask, and this is something I dealt with because of my cancer, and it's going back to those billing codes and all that kind of stuff that mm-hmm. I actually found almost $30,000 that shouldn't have been on my medical bills when I was going through cancer. And then just as my understanding what the codes were, mine was a stomach colon cancer surgery. And all of a sudden I've got a splint being charged for my leg. I'm like, really?
Right.
When somebody's dealing with the payer model, whether to be Medicare, Medi-Cal, or long-term care, what is the important thing to do? Is it important to read the actual contract or the policy to see what is actually covered? So you know what's going to be covered. What would be your best advice with that?
Steve, I'm going to give you the straight up advice for this. Whether this is something that we might do at most maybe four times in our life, okay, is step into this. To think that we're going to be awesome at it or expect ourselves to be absolutely awesome at this doesn't quite make sense. This is one where you want somebody who can really help you for that, honestly. And you've gotten down. It sounds like you dove into the ICD-10 codes to understand, you know, what came into what and where the, and that, by the way, changes constantly, right? And you find when you pull on that string of a problem, it may be because somebody fat fingered an entry. It might be because of just the way they typically bill something or how they were trying to get a pre-authorization to help you out. So they're trying to rush you through. Like there's a lot of not always nefarious, just systematic inefficiencies in that. That's a danger of the silver tsunami, by the way, when government has to work through all of that. So what I would say is there's an awesome group of, there are 73 industries of business that we work with, 73 people to come at you. But one of the most important for what you're talking about is called a healthcare advocate. And these are former nurses, some are doctors, some are retired physicians or others, but generally usually someone who has worked down at that hands-on level. They understand the ICD-10 kind of code side. They work from that processing there, and they can step in and help. First of all, they're a third party in case mom's not comfortable being in her women's health appointment, you being in that women's health appointment, right? Where they're dealing with, you know, increased UTIs because she's not drinking water as much as she used to because she doesn't want to go pee so much. So she's sitting in her chair, and these are real things, but it's difficult for you and I to jump into.
Well, I'm actually laughing because I've heard this before.
Oh, okay. Well, these are,
yeah, see mom, that, but other clients.
That's how much we're not alone. And look, we say, if you've seen one parent project, you've seen one parent project. But the reality is there are so many efficiencies if you have the right person at the right time doing the right thing. And that's not, it's not that it's not rocket science. There is a lot to it. That's where we had to leverage and help machine learning to really get us there. But straight down to the bottom of your point, with fewer words, we use healthcare advocate to help us work through that personally, because that's, yeah. And I see thousands of these.
One of the things that I found out going through my process is I talked to a healthcare advocate who basically says, you know what, medical services are like any business, or someone's good ones or bad ones. If you have a good healthcare advocate, they can help you direct towards good services and lead less frustration because you have better communication and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. So I'd leave it there. I would like you to provide your information before we have to conclude here so that everybody can get in touch with you. And then after this is all done, I'd like to have a chat with maybe Stephanie and you, and maybe arrange for you to come back because this is a big topic.
Yeah. And to the same with what you talk about, we'd love to have you on our show reciprocally and talk with our audience on really that honing in against that financial side. But you can find us, we're at parentprojects.com, at parentprojects on any social media platform you could possibly think about. Parentprojects, plural, that's what we got coming at us. It is truly that easy. If you, by phone, if you're still really loving it that way, 866-75-MOVED, anywhere in the country. We've been in our early market was here out of Arizona, and we are now pushing out across the country and starting in June. So check us out. And if we can help, if there's something you're looking for that's not even there, just ping us and ask. We have a whole group of concierge and people that just love in the background to go find answers to that and connect you, not just to resources, but to other families that are going through that at this point in time or have gone through it recently.
Tony, thanks for being part of the show today. I wish you the best in the future, and hopefully we can have you back. Everybody, this is Tony Sieberts, Parent Projects. You definitely want to go to that website. It doesn't matter how old your parents are, you want to go, because the more you can learn, the better. And with that, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you next time, Tony. And stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. And right now I'm going to be talking about the ins and outs of money. Specifically, we had a number of people, we had thousands of people who are really concerned about the Secure Act 2.0. So one of the big things here is this. If you didn't take your required minimum distribution, you used to have a 50% penalty. Now it's dropped down to 25%. The big thing to know here, it's in the distribution phase of your life. So you know what? That means if you didn't take your required minimum distribution for, say, 2023, and you found out in 2024, you can go back, amend the tax return, take the required minimum distribution, file your taxes, but you only get hit with a 10% penalty. So it's important to understand that, that drop down, but you can drop down even further to 10%. Next, if you have an in-plan Roth, okay, that means you have a Roth 401k, a Roth 403b, a Roth 457, a Roth TSA, TSP, that type of thing, and you're of age to take a required minimum distribution, you still have to take that required minimum distribution. I understand it's tax-free, but you still have to take the required minimum distribution for tax year 2023. You won't in 2024. If you don't want to, roll it over to a Roth IRA. Next, if you have an in-plan annuity, that means if it's in a 401k, 403b, 457, TSA, TSP, all those type of things, an in-plan annuity, which was designed to pay you for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and the amount that's being paid out to you exceeds your required minimum distribution, you could roll the excess over to the next year, to the next year, to the next year, okay? Next, if you're inheriting an IRA or a Roth IRA, and you're a non-spouse beneficiary, you have to take out everything within 5 years. Due to the updated Secure Act, you now have the ability to stretch the IRA for 10 years. Okay, got to make sure it's 10 years. Now, if you are inheriting a Roth IRA, you have to liquidate it within 10 years. Okay. On top of that, you have to take a required minimum distribution, whether it's an inherited IRA or inherited Roth IRA, during the period that you're waiting until you liquidate it. If you don't, you're going to get hit with that penalty. Some people said, Steve, how do I, you know, not take my required minimum distribution? There's only one way you could defer that. It's called a qualified longevity annuity contract, especially known as QLAC, Q-L-A-C. And what it does is enable you to take 25% of your IRA up to $200,000, whatever's less, and defer taking that till you're 85. That's only, you know what, you can grow it a little bit, but you won't have to take it if that's the case. Contributions. In order for catch-up, if you're 60, you have the ability to contribute $10,000 a year for 3 years, 61, 62, 63. I'm sorry, 60, 61, 62, that's 3 years. That's $30,000 you can put in there, all right? Now, the caveat there is if your income is less than $145,000 a year, hey, you know what? You can put it in your IRA. But if it's over $45,000 a year, you're going to have to pay taxes and put it into a Roth IRA. So it's important to understand those things. So those are things that actually affect everybody. Look, I want to thank you for joining us here today on Saving with Steve. We're always talking about the ins and outs of money. We had Tony Sievers here talking about something very important, helping everybody who's getting older into that transition into life as they need help and health support, finance support, and so on. We'll be unpacking that a little bit more with Tony later on and a few other episodes. Again, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. That's all for me right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.